This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Day, I'd like to share with you something from God's Word about motherhood. And the title is called, How to Honor Thy Mother. How to Honor Your Mother. The reason for this title is because we live in a day and age where the respect and honor that is due the parent is lost. As the world progresses in turning away from God and growing in wickedness, you see more and more deviation from God's standard, which we just read, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are universal. It's not just for Christians. It's not just for believers, or not even just for Jews. It's for everyone. This is a universal law binding upon all mankind. And the more far away mankind gets from God, the more mankind gets away from following these commandments, and the deeper the commandments are broken. Paul, inspired by God, wrote these really eye-opening words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. He says this, but know this, okay, know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. So one thing that we will notice as the world comes to an end and God is going to come to this earth and set up the new heavens and the new earth, One of the things we'll notice in society is that there'll be an increasing disobedience, the Bible says, but that incorporates a dishonor and a spurning of children to their parents. In other words, bad things happen when you dishonor your parents. Anytime one of the Ten Commandments are broken, it's not like the law is broken in the sense of it suffers loss. The law is harmed. It's not like when you break one of the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets are cracked. The law is broken. That's not what happens. When the law is broken, what really happens is the person breaking the law becomes broken. If you beat against a stone tablet, you're not going to break the stone tablet. The stone tablet's going to break your wrist. Just like the law of gravity. If I were to climb up on top of this roof, which I have done, and I went to the edge of the roof, and I looked over, and I said, you know what, I'm going to break the law of gravity. Which I haven't done. And I just said, okay, here we go. And I jump off the edge of the roof. Is the law of gravity going to be broken? Or am I going to be broken? I think it's safe to say that I will be broken. That's the same with the Ten Commandments. Whenever somebody breaks the law, in a sense, they're not doing harm to the law. They're doing harm to themselves. And as mankind as a whole continues to break, continues to walk away from, continues to live against that moral standard that God has given, What's going to happen? Well, that human race will become more broken. The law stands firm, but if the commandment is broken, it breaks you. So the question is this the same with the fifth commandment of the ten? Honor your father and your mother. Well, yes. If this commandment is broken, it will result in consequences upon your life. And if society as a whole breaks this commandment, then society as a whole will suffer the consequences. So what has happened as a result of breaking this fifth commandment? Well, I was trying to look up some, information about our society and kind of where it stands with this whole thing. And as I looked it up, there was this article that I found that had been posted 5 hours before I started looking this up while I was in the office. And it was an article by the Washington Post. And the title of the article was, Women Asked for an Independence Day, They Got Mother's Day Instead. And the picture on the top of the article had this younger woman with an infant in one hand that was just wailing, crying, beet red in the face. And then the other hand was this rambunctious toddler who was not doing what she should say, and her face was just distraught. And of course, the toddler was a little boy. Surprise, surprise. The author, Kimberly Hamlin, went to great lengths to basically say that Mother's Day is an insult to women. She writes how the pandemic created this she session, she called it, because many mothers had to stay at home to take care of their children who were not able to learn in person. And she writes how the original women's rights activists, and when you go to the early 1900s, they had asked the president that a day be set aside in honor of women, recognizing the right for women to be active citizens, and call it Women's Independence Day. She says that President Woodrow Wilson, rather than meeting their demands, appeased their wishes by instituting a national holiday called Mother's Day, where the nation's flags would fly in the love and honor of mothers. So she writes. And then as time went on, in 1933, a humanitarian for mothers by the name of Anna Jarvis wrote to President Franklin D. Roosevelt asking him to remove the federal mandate for Mother's Day. Why? Because the author gives this answer. Because instead of equality, health care, peace, safety, and support, Mother's Day had become an occasion for vapid expressions of love and reverence, increasingly characterized by flowers, brunch, and store-bought cards. And she went on with the history to say how women had fought against this idealized role of a mother by trying to establish government-funded daycares to no success. That is, and here's the climax of her article, until President Biden on April 28th announced his American Families Plan, which proposed free universal pre-K and subsidized child care for low and middle income Americans. And as I read the article, I could almost hear the applause and cheers of a group of unfortunately deceived people. And immediately there came in my mind the image of a conveyor belt of just children being set on the conveyor belt as early as possible and just going down the conveyor belt. But what was the conclusion of her article? The best way, I'm not quoting now, I'm summarizing. The best way to celebrate Mother's Day is to get mothers out of the home and let the government take care of their kids as early as possible. Now, immediately, someone might be thinking, well, the fault lies in these radical feminists or whatever. But I'd say that what we see going on with this spurning of a biblical framework for motherhood is not caused by women just wanting to throw off the yoke of what God has called good, but the fact that the women's fathers, husbands, and children stopped honoring their role as a mother and left them to fend for themselves. Fathers stopped taking care of their daughters, husbands started cheating on their wives and left them stranded on the streets, and children refused to take care of them throughout their elderly years. What's a woman left to do? If being a mother means being dependent on unfaithful family members, forget it. Go out and get a job and fend for yourself. And thus the ideal mother is no longer the strong yet tender, loving mother who gives herself to raising her children in the fear and love of God, and to ensure that the home life is an atmosphere of Christian virtue. But now the ideal mother is the free, unsubmitted, executive woman of power whose purpose in life is to prove to the world that she can make it just fine without the biblical design for her life. Now we as believers, we oppose all tyranny. We oppose all abuse. We oppose all neglect against mothers. But we, as believers, do not believe that that abuse and tyranny and neglect is because of the Proverbs 31 ideal. The problem is that we lost what it meant when God wrote on a tablet of stone thousands of years ago, "Honor thy mother." And then you had poems written like this. "She rises up at break of day, and though her task she races, she cooks the meal as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, ribbons too all need consideration, and yet the consensus man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes all are done, she bakes a pudding maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one with one eye watching baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the consensus man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery smile, returning lass and laddie. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation. And yet the consensus man insists she has no occupation." Women nowadays, and men need to be reminded that the most creative occupation in the world involves fashion, decoration, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, literature, art, economics, government, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, purchasing, law, religion, energy, and management. And what occupation is that? Is that of a mother. G.K. Chesterton made the remark that, you know, we honor somebody who gives their lives to teaching children not their own about mathematics or something. But yet we don't think it's an honor when a woman gives her life to teach her own children about the universe. If we, at least in the Church of Jesus Christ, can maintain that a biblical foundation for motherhood is a good one, and we can be willing to call that a good foundation, a beautiful foundation, in fact, an honorable foundation, then we will do good for our families, do good for our communities, our churches, and ultimately do good for our world. And when the Lord brings people into the church through the gospel who are broken and destitute and are in need of a total new foundation for their lives, we can teach them that this thing we call motherhood, as the Bible describes it, is to be cherished, heralded, and encouraged. I'd like to ask you all something here this morning. Would you please raise your hand if you have or had a mother? I'm trying to see if somebody's hand is not raised, because I got to talk to you. Okay. Seeing as everyone's hands were raised, then I think that we can say this message applies to you. Because it tells you what the Bible meant when it said honor thy mother. And even if you don't have mothers alive right now, it still can show you and give you a deeper appreciation for those you know who are mothers and how you can teach those around you what it means when the Bible says, honor your mother. So, how to honor your mother? Well, first you consider, we'll look at three things. First, you consider her role with respect. Secondly, you consent to her well-being as your responsibility. And thirdly, you conduct your life in a godly relationship with Christ. First, you consider her role with respect. The foundation to honoring your mother is to understand what it means to be a mother. And how important motherhood is. Motherhood is not a burden to society, as people are trying to say. Motherhood is the bedrock of society. And it has been rightly said that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a preacher, he had four sons and they were all preachers. Well, one day someone came into their living room when the family was there, and the person asked one of the sons, Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? And Howard, without a moment's hesitation, turned and said, Mother, sitting right there. In order to respect her role as a mother, we need to recognize a few things. First, recognize that God created her role. God created her role. Way back in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, after they fell and the curse was pronounced, the Bible says that Adam turned to his wife, Eve, to the woman, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That's what her name means. The name Eve means life or living. God intended that all human beings would come as a result of motherhood. Motherhood is not the result of a million-year-long indeterminate process of cellular structures preserving DNA. Motherhood has been established by God as the means of furthering the human race in the world, creating life from life, preserving a godly heritage from one generation to the next. Mothers are a gift to the world to cultivate God's character traits into the sons and daughters of Eve. A mother is the leader to her children in furthering the cause of Christ. So when we consider our own mothers, mothers-in-laws, grandmothers, and so forth, we need to recognize that God created her role. Regardless of how she lives as a person, regardless of how she lives, her role as a mother is a God-given role. And we shouldn't spurn it, we shouldn't demean it, and we shouldn't disregard it. We should value it, we should cherish it, and we should support it. Nothing that we say or do should diminish the importance that God places on motherhood. And in our conversations with those women in our lives, there should be a tone of recognition that the woman I speak with is a mother. Wow. That's amazing. So in order to respect her role, we need to recognize that God created a role. Secondly, we need to recognize that God chose her to be your mother. Turn with me here in the book of Acts, if you have your Bibles, to Acts chapter 17. And you'll see this. Paul, he's spreading the gospel all around. The new the church had been established. He's on a missionary journey. He goes to Athens by himself. And what does he do to pass the time? Well, he goes around spreading the gospel. Great way to pass the time. And so he's going around and he ends up creating a stirring. We're in Acts chapter 17. He ends up creating a stirring of the intellectuals of Athens, and they take him and they bring him to the place called Areopagus, which is also Mars Hill, and they want him to explain what he's talking about. Tell us what this new teaching is, they ask. And he goes on to talk about his belief in the one true God versus all their idols. And he says in verse 24, their God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Okay? Just stop there for a minute. If you want to seek the Lord, you don't have to be in a church to seek the Lord. The Lord is everywhere. He's not in a temple made by human hands. Verse 25, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Now we are to worship him, but it's not like if we don't worship him, he suffers. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Now look at verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Look at 26 there. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. That's fascinating. And I don't know the mechanics of how that works. But let me ask you something. Did you choose your parents? At some point, did you go in front of the counter with all the different, you know, toppings and side dressings and everything, and you start at the thing and you say, well, I want this personality and this is the parent I want? You didn't choose your parents. Interestingly, your parents didn't choose you either. From a human perspective, and we're not going to get into it, but it's rather an arbitrary process of you specifically becoming the child of your parents. But from God's perspective, it is an exact match. This passage tells us that God decided when you would be born, where you would be born, and as a result, to whom you would be born. Therefore, God has decided specifically who would be your mother. And that decision, in and of itself, is enough of a reason for us to respect her role as our mother. Now, immediately we might be thinking, well, what about children who are born not under the best of circumstances? What if it was through an immoral relationship? Does God then condone such behavior? Well, absolutely not. Although he says that he has a standard for that which is ideal for the family and good for the family, and if it is not that standard, it is sin, that doesn't mean that the consequences are bad in and of themselves. Just because he allows someone to freely sin doesn't mean that he can't take those consequences and make them turn for good. The Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord, even if the blessing came from an unfortunate circumstance. No child is on God's blacklist. Does the gift justify the action? No. But the Bible teaches us that all children are brought into this world through the act of God who gives life. And that's why I am grieved when I hear believers who say that, you know, I think abortion is wrong unless, you know, something very bad happened and then it's okay, you know. Having a baby is not sin. A baby is a gift from God, even if the circumstances involved sin. So we need to realize that God chose our mothers to be our mothers, and when we do that, we gain a respect and a reverence. We realize that no matter how this mother is or how she treated me, she is my mother. So we need to recognize that God chose specifically who your mother would be. Thirdly, we need to recognize that she made sacrifices to you, for you. She made sacrifices for you. Your mother went through an exceedingly difficult ordeal to bring you into the world. And if she had any amount of normal human affection in her, she probably made many, many sacrifices to be your mother. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect mother. And all of us can attest to the things that we look back on and we look with sadness. And I understand that there are thousands and thousands of all these different specific situations, like what if she abandoned the child and the child has been adopted? And the Bible teaches us that in these situations, there's always forgiveness. And God will lead you. But the general rule for a mother is that she made sacrifices for her children. And therefore, we should honor that by respecting her role. To change your diaper, clothe you, feed you, shelter you, take care of you, when you're utterly dependent on her, was a sacrifice she made for you. One mother was asked, when she had three notoriously unruly youngsters, whether or not she'd have children, if she could do it all over again. And she looked back and she just smiled. She said, "Yes, I would, but not the same ones." By recognizing her sacrifice, we gain a respect for her role. And that doesn't have to be your biological mother. That can be anyone who has taken that position of raising you, caring for you, watching over you. We gain a respect for her role. So the first way to honor your mother is to consider her role with respect. The second way that we can honor our mothers is to consent to her well-being as being your and my responsibility. Consent to her well-being as your responsibility. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and you'll see this exactly, explicitly given to us. 1 Timothy chapter 5. When we were children, you know, when we're children, our parents, they take care of us. And the parents usually take care of each other. But as time goes on, the roles tend to reverse. Soon we're grown up, established, have kids of our own perhaps. And our parents become elderly, and perhaps maybe one of them passes away, and the other one lives on, and soon becomes unable to take care of themselves. Well, the Bible teaches us that God has so designed that as our mother consented to our well-being as her responsibility, as time goes on, we are to consent to her well-being being our responsibility. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3. Onward, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But look at verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If we find out that our mother is in a situation that is harmful to her, physically and spiritually, we are to express our concerns, and we are to step in and help even if our advice or our intervention is rejected. We are to take care of her because she is our mother. Now, many, I'm sure, go through the hard decision of whether to place their mother in the care of a facility or not. Every situation is different, and one cannot possibly give a definite standard that applies to every situation. But it can be said that no matter what the situation is, parental neglect is a huge issue in our society. Whether the mother is living on their own, or they're living in their children's house, or they're in an assisted living facility, or in a nursing home, so often the case is that the parent is neglected, ignored, and sadly abandoned. And this is true all across the spectrum. There is such an issue of parental neglect in our society. You know the reason why the Amish community asked to be exempt from paying Social Security for religious beliefs? Because when they were asked, they said, "We take care of our own." And in my firsthand, in-depth experience with their culture, they do. To neglect the well-being of one's own mother is akin to neglecting the well-being of one's own child. And the Bible says that such a person is worse than an unbeliever. And I think Mother's Day is a good reminder for us all to ask ourselves, am I concerned about the well-being of my mother or father? Is her current situation one in which she is being well taken care of? Am I showing her the love of Christ that I, as her child, am called to show? To honor our mother by consenting to her well-being is our responsibility, is going to show our family members, is going to show those workers in that place, is going to show the world around us that we want to follow a good standard, that there is a divine structure that we see as good, and that we have a supernatural love that we are expressing, and that love can only be generated by the power of God. And no better example of this is found than when Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was ready to die. And the Bible tells us that Jesus' mother, Mary, had been under his care because Joseph was gone. He's not mentioned. It's assumed that he passed away. And in the book of John, John records for us the very words that he spoke on the cross as he was dying. And it brings you to tears when you read these words. In John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, the Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by," that was the apostle John, "he said to his mother, 'Woman,'" which was not a demeaning term in that day, it was a term of honor. "It said, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he turned to the disciple on the cross and he said, 'Behold your mother.'" And the Bible says, from that hour, that disciple took her to be in his own home. Even to his last dying words, Jesus Christ made his mother's well-being his own responsibility. So how do you honor your mother? You consider her role with respect. You consent to her well-being as being your responsibility. And thirdly and finally, you conduct your life in the godly relationship with Christ. Above all that we can do to honor our mothers, above all is to live a life of faithfulness unto God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest way. There's no greater way to honor thy mother than to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Because it is through our obedience to Christ that we are in his hand, and he uses us to love him and love our neighbor and therefore love our mothers as we ought to. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let she who bore you rejoice." To walk in wisdom, to walk with God, to have that abiding relationship with God is a fountain of blessing and honor for your mother. She may not recognize it, acknowledge it, or even agree with it. But reality says that the fact, the mothers of the godly are blessed sevenfold. A man or woman who loves God, who lives for God, who walks in the ways of God, by the power of God, with the ability of God, they love their mothers, they take care of their mothers, and they honor their mothers. And not only that, the legacy of the family will also be more beautiful because of it. Let your mother be glad, and let her who bore you, or let she who bore you, rejoice. So the question is, do you have a relationship with Christ? Are you walking in His ways? Are you submitted to His will? And have you come to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? I mentioned earlier that if you break the Ten Commandments, you are broken as a result. Well, the Bible says we've all broken them. We all have broken the Ten Commandments, and as a result, we all are broken. And we all have to give an account to the judge who will ask us if we kept those commands, and if not, we will suffer penalty. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to this world and was nailed to the cross and took upon Himself our penalty, so that if we trust in Him and if we believe in Him, we will be forgiven and we will have new life. And once you're saved, you can freely live for God. You can walk with Him in this life, and as a result, you will honor your mother. I confess, Christian, that because we live in a fallen world, there are multitudes of specific situations that these general principles will not directly apply to. Okay, there are questions that come up that, what about this, what about that? But the wonderful thing is that God's Word shows us that God wishes to lead us in that specific situation we're in. He wants to lead you specifically in how you are to honor your mother, as He wants to lead me in specifically how I am to lead and honor my mother. And that only comes through knowing God. That only comes through knowing Him. And the truth for us this morning is this: God established, as one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy mother. And in our day and age, we live in a fallen Washington Post world, a culture that thinks of motherhood as suppressive to a woman's potential. But the Bible tells us that motherhood is not at all suppressive, but a blessed experience of great important and potential that is to be cherished and embraced. And our society will begin to re-embrace and cherish that role of a mother if we would show them what it means to honor thy mother. And how do we do that? We consider her role with respect. Remember that God created her role, that God chose her to be our mother, and that she has made sacrifices. We consent to her well-being as being our responsibility. We take care of her because we love her. And we conduct our lives in a godly relationship with Jesus Christ, because then she'll rejoice. And if she doesn't recognize it, she will be blessed. She will be blessed. That is how we honor our mothers. And brothers and sisters, this is something I need to grow in, because I have been preconditioned in this world. And I hope that it is something that has helped you to understand. And ultimately, God wants us to follow Him and show us what He has for us to do for every situation. Let's pray. Gracious Father God in heaven, I thank You so much that You have given us Your Word that is so full and rich. You have shown us every little detail of life, every little aspect of our existence You have revealed in Your Word, Lord, that we have guidance, we have direction, we have help. And I pray, Lord God, that here this morning, we would commit to seeking Your will and how we can honor our mothers, or we can teach those around us how to honor theirs, or we can uphold in our own lives the blessed role of a mother. Dear Lord, we know not every woman is called to be a mother, but that doesn't take away from their value. But we know, Lord, that our society thinks of motherhood as a burden. And I just pray, dear God, that we here in this church would cancel that idea. That we would begin to cultivate, we would continue to cultivate the truth of Your Word, O Lord, that it is a blessed thing to be a mother, an honorable thing to be a mother, and a noble thing. Help us, Lord, bless us, and go with us in the rest of this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.